For today.
1 Samuel 2, 1 through 11, Hannah's prayer. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and rises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." When Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministered to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie, for the reading of the word. You know, when a professional sports team wins a championship, be a Super Bowl, be a World Series, be an NBA championship, their city typically throws them a massive celebration parade through the city. People are praising, people are shouting, people are singing, people are going crazy, right? And I mean, Nashville's waited for a Super Bowl party for parade for over 30 years. It doesn't look like we're gonna be lining up Broadway anytime soon, does it? But, you know, when that happens, it's an amazing experience. The largest Super Bowl parade recorded in history was in 2019, not only 6 years ago, when New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. There were an estimated 1.5 million drunken New England fans lining the streets of Boston to celebrate the Patriots' victory. But that pales in comparison to the largest parade ever in celebration of a team was in 2016, 3 years earlier, when the Cubs finally won the World Series. After 71 years of no NL pennant, after 100 and some years of no World Series, Super Bowl would have been great, World Series, they won it. And 6.5 million people lined the streets in Chicago to cheer on the Cubs, breaking their absolute 100 and some years of misery. And so they celebrated, they partied like it was 1999, for those of you who are Prince fans. And so, last week, as I said, we kicked off this series, Kingdom Come. And we are going through 1 2 Samuel. And in chapter 1, we are introduced to a woman named Hannah. Now, Hannah was a broken woman. I mean, she was a desperate woman. She was in a lot of pain because she was married to a man who was a polygamist. I mean, he had another wife besides her. That's enough to drive you crazy, isn't it, ladies? But not only was her husband a polygamist, she was barren. She was barren. She could not conceive, and that created a lot of emotional pain in her life. On top of that, her rival, Peninnah, her husband's other wife, provoked her. She trash-talked her. She spiked the ball in her face. Yes, I've got kids. She was popping out kids like popcorn. I've got kids. You know, you don't have kids. I provide heirs. You don't provide heirs. He loves me more than you. So she was a broken, broken woman. That's what we saw last week, pouring her heart out to the Lord. Today, we're going to see her in a completely different light. Today, as Julie just read, we see her not as a broken woman, but we see her responding in gladness to the goodness of God. I mean, that's what we see. I mean, Hannah, she went to church, if you'll remember, in her brokenness. She went to church. That tells us something. She went to church and she prayed. And she asked the Lord, "God, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you." Now, God answered her prayer. He opened her womb. She conceived and she had a son, named him Samuel. And she made good on her promise. When the child was 3 to 4 years old, which was when he was weaned, was the custom. She would give him to his daddy when he was weaned. At this point, because of her promise, she made good on her promise. She took him to Shiloh, to the temple, and gave him to the priest Eli to raise. And, you know, last week we talked about how she, when he was 3 or 4, took him and gave him to the priest, and he was raised in the temple. I had some moms come up to me that's got 3 or 4 year old terrors. And they said, I think we're going to bring our son down here and just give him to you. Listen, let me make sure you understand something, moms. Please don't bring your kids to me. I've got like 7 now, and if I have one more, I promise I'm probably going to start a prison ministry from on the inside, okay? So don't bring your kids to me, but that's exactly what Hannah did. And so our takeaway last week was from purpose to pain. And that's what we see. There's purpose in Hannah's pain. Today, it's pain to praise, because that's what's happening in chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Hannah's pain has turned to praise, and we see her glad response to the goodness of God. Honestly, folks, that's a great definition of worship. The great definition of worship is our glad response to the goodness of God. And we're going to learn a lot about worship in today's message, I hope. We're going to learn a lot about worship from Hannah today, because that's what this is all about. Now, we've broken it down into 3 points: praising God, proclaiming God, and the promise of God. Praising God, proclaiming God, and the promise of God. And so let's look at praising God. Let's go back to verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. It says, And Hannah prayed and said, my heart exults. Now, circle that word if you got your hard copy Bible, or hang on to it, underline it, highlight it if you're looking on your phone or whatever. My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. Horn is a word that means strength. Basically, in the Old Testament, in the Scripture, it means strength. As a bull will raise its head, its horns, and triumph and victory. It's strength and victory. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Now, folks, if the Titans, think about this, if the Titans somehow were to miraculously win the Super Bowl, we would party like rock stars, wouldn't we? I mean, man, we would line, I'd be the first to jump in a van with you and go to Broadway, line Broadway, man. I would scream and I would shout and I would celebrate, because that's what I've longed for such a long time. I would celebrate how good the team is. Man, we would paint our faces, right? I mean, man, we would sing the songs. We would do all the things, right, to celebrate the Titans. Now, let me ask you this. If a sports fan will celebrate how good his team is, how much should we celebrate how good our God is? And that's exactly what Hannah's doing. She said, my heart exults. It exults in the Lord. I told you to circle that word, because that word means to be overjoyed. It means to be publicly happy. You see, that's what she's doing. She is overjoyed. She is publicly praising God. That's what you're doing when you come to worship today, right? On Sunday mornings, we gather for public worship. That's the church gathered for public worship. Now, I hope you have a private worship time where you have your quiet time, you pray, you read the word, things like that. But we join together to publicly proclaim together the goodness of God. That's what Hannah's doing. She is gladly responding to the goodness of God within her life. In chapter 1, remember, she was desperate. She was broken. Man, we all know how that feels. I mean, we've all been kicked by life in the gut. We're laying on the ground, and we feel like, man, while we're on the ground, it just keeps kicking us. We can't catch a break. Some of you feel that way right now in so many ways. There's so much pain within this room, and what I hope you understand from last week is there's purpose in that pain, and I hope the pain can turn to praise, and that's not going to depend upon your circumstances, we're going to see, but it's going to depend upon your perspective. And you know how it feels. You know exactly what Hannah was like. Some of you came to me last week, man, and you, like Hannah, man, you are struggling with maybe some infertility. I had some people come and say they'd struggled with infertility for 19 years and God gave them a child. Others, God hasn't answered that prayer like that yet. But there's so many other issues and pain that is in this room that goes way back. We all have it, right? We all have that thing that caused that pain. We know what it's like to feel like we can't catch a break in life. And in times like this, in times of confusion and pain, many people hit eject spiritually. It's so easy to hit eject. It's so easy to not pray, not go to church, to not study the Bible. I'm so eject to even be angry with God. And man, we've all probably been there at some point, at least some of this. In some way, we've tried to eject and not engage spiritually because it's so easy in times of confusion to do that. But here's what we learned from Hannah. She didn't run from God. She ran toward God, not away from God. Hannah didn't get bitter because of everything that was going on. She got better. Why? Because she cast her cares upon the Lord, and he cares for her. And as a result, she couldn't see God's hand. There's going to be times when you cannot see God's hand, when you cannot see his moving and what he's doing, but she couldn't see his hand, but she trusted his heart. And as a result, what we see happen is she understood that there's purpose in her pain, and her pain turned to praise because she didn't run from God. Now, it'd be very easy right now. Honestly, it'd be very easy for us on the surface level to go, you know what? Sure, Hannah's praising God publicly. Sure, she's praising Jesus. She got what she asked for, right? I mean, her prayers were answered. She asked for a child, and God gave her a child. Sure, she's praising God. I mean, if God answered my prayer, I'd praise him too, right? I mean, my circumstances would change in my favor. It'd be easy to think about that, and sometimes we think, but God hadn't answered my prayer, honestly, God answers every prayer. It just might be no, right? I mean, and we're like children sometimes when my child, as I said, I've got a lot of kids, and when my kids ask for something, and, it just sort of gets on my last nerve. When my kids ask for something, I say no. It's like, I'm so glad God doesn't, because I sort of do that to God too, right? I mean, he answers, but it might be no. That might be the answer is no, you can't have that. So what we see going on here is you might think it's easy for Hannah to say, Lord, you're good because God answered her prayer. But really, I mean, let's think about what's going on in her life. She's a desperate woman. She's a broken woman because she doesn't have a son. She doesn't have any kids. She's barren. She prays, God opens her womb and gives her a kid. Now he's 3 to 4 years old and she's giving him up to a priest whose compass is pointing south, moral compass. She's given him up to live in the tabernacle. She had this son that she's asked for, she's begged God for, and now he's never going to live with her. Now, Mom, you tell me if her circumstances have really changed. I mean, yeah, she's got a son, but it's always something, folks. Her circumstances could still cause her to be depressed and down, and when she promised to give him up, this is what she's doing, yet she's praising God. She's not bitter about it. She's rejoicing in it. And she promised to give. Why? Because when she promised to give back her son to God, if he answered her prayer, she wasn't bargaining with God. That wasn't what she's doing here. She's not bargaining with God. She's submitting to God. See, she realized, you know what? A son is not about my happiness. It's about God's glory. A son, she began to see a bigger picture. And because she realized it's not about my happiness, it's about God's glory, her pain could turn to praise, and she could praise God, not because her circumstances changed, but folks, her perspective changed. Your circumstances might not change. That's you know as well as I do, your circumstances might not change. Some of you are living with illnesses that, man, God can miraculously heal you at any moment. But he may choose not to on this planet, and if so, your circumstances might not change. Some of you are in a situation that might not change. Whatever that thorn in your flesh is, that pain that's causing you pain right now, it might not change. Your circumstances might not change, but you can still know that there's purpose in your pain, and when you know that, then your pain can turn to praise. Even though your circumstances, but because your perspective changes. So she's praising God. Now, let's move on and talk about how she praised God. She praised God by proclaiming God. And why she could praise God? Because of what she proclaimed about God. You know, Hannah's praise wasn't based on what was going on in her life. That's what I need you to understand because, man, it might not change. It wasn't based on, she wasn't praising God because of what was going on in her life. She was praising God because of who was in control of her life. I need you to get this. She wasn't praising God because of the quality of her life. She was praising God because of the character of her God. The quality of our life goes up and down depending on what we want it to be, but the character of our God never changes. She was praising, she could praise God in the midst of pain because of the character of her God. And the first, and one of the things that we see is she proclaims the character of God as she proclaims his sovereignty, providence. The providence of God is a theological term that talks about how God is directing and in control of everything in the world. And we can have peace today and we can have praise today because God is in control. God is in control. She praised him because of his sovereignty. She's just given up her son. Now think about this. She's just given up her son that she's prayed for. And she's thankful, not regretful. How? How could she be thankful? How could she rejoice in that moment? How could she not be regretful? Well, the only way that you can do this is if you're aware of the sovereignty of God, that nothing happens outside of the plan and will of God. Think about what that would mean if anything could happen outside of the plan or will of God. Then would God literally be all-powerful? Would God literally be in control? So we would come down and we could say she could do this because God is sovereign. And she's beginning to understand, I can't see what this is all about. I don't know, but I trust God, right? I trust God. It's hard to see this in difficult times. Man, when our back's against the wall, it's hard to see how any of this can be good. Why is this happening to me? You ever ask that? I have. Oh, I have. Why is this happening to me? I serve the Lord. I go to church. I love Jesus. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand. It's hard to see when circumstances are terrible. It's hard to see. But if we're aware of the sovereignty of God, we can praise God because we know whatever's going on right now, whatever this is, this pain, it's not arbitrary. It's not arbitrary. There's purpose in the pain, and if we know there's purpose in the pain, then our pain can turn to praise because God is sovereign. Hannah knew that despite what was going on in her life, she knew that it's a part of a much larger picture. It's part of a much larger picture. God was working his plan and purpose even in darkness. Even in darkness, she knew that. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to read several scriptures to you because I want the scripture to wash over you to make this point for me, okay? Because the scripture is always much better. And so, because it's inerrant, as I said, and I'm not. So let me read the scripture, some scriptures on this sovereignty of God issue. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said, in him we obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You see, Paul just said that God works all things. You know what's included in that all things? The thing that's in your life right now. The thing that will come into your life later that's going to cause pain. That is in the all things. And Paul said, all things, God's working in accordance to the counsel of his will. All things. There's nothing outside of the will of God happening. There's nothing outside of the will of God that's going to happen because God's not going, what? Oh, no. All things, including whatever that thing is in your life right now. Job chapter 37, I love the book of Job. I got well acquainted with the book of Job a couple of years ago, about three years ago when my wife died, and man, I just had to turn to Job because I knew here's a man who has lost his kids. He's lost his wealth. He's lost everything. Yet I knew that he praised the Lord. How can that happen? I didn't understand how that could happen. And so I undertook a dive into Job. And man, it's an incredible book. But toward the end of it, here's what Job says. Job says in 37:5 through 13, God thunders wondrously. Now this is as he's processing. As his friends have there, some people have told him, man, you know, his wife, curse God and die. Some friends have told him, man, this is because of your sin. This is whatever, you know. And I mean, he's had all this advice. He's processed. He's just lost everything, and he's processed. And here's some of his conclusions. He says, God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. Job's, I can't understand what God's doing. He's God. He's too massive. I can't understand what he's doing completely. For the snow, he says, fall on the earth, likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he has made may know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. From its chamber comes the whirlwind and cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick clouds with moisture. He loads the clouds with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world, whether for correction or for his land or for love. He causes it to happen. It's hard to get away from that. He causes it to happen. Where's the rainfall? Where God tells it to. Right, rain at your house, might not rain at mine. Why? I mean, you know, it's not luck to the farmer. It's the plan and the will of God. He tells the rain where to fall. He tells the ice where to fall. He's in control of where the animals sleep and where the animals are. He feeds the animals. You know, it talks about he loads the clouds and the winds go round and round, hurricanes and tornadoes, and they go wherever they go to accomplish what God wants. He causes it to happen, it says. God's not just in knowledge of what's going on in your life. God's not just in knowledge when a loved one dies. Nothing is apart from God's will. Nothing happens apart. God's not just reacting to what goes on in the world. God's not a reactor, okay? He doesn't just react. Uh-oh, this is going on. God is controlling what goes on. Job 12, 23 says, he makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and he leads them away. God brings up nations. That's in God's hand. God brings down nations all through history. We've seen world powers come to be. God brings up, God brings down. That's why I keep begging and praying for all believers in our country to call out to the Lord, because God is the one who brings nations up and God's the one who brings them down. It's not because of the industriousness, pull up ourselves by our own bootstraps, you know, willpower, you know, we're independent and all this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of great things, man, I love about our American, you know, ingenuity. And man, let's pull it up by our bootstraps. Let's go get it, you know, mentality. I've been around the world and some people, places don't have that. But that's not what's going to keep us great. Let's honor God. He's in charge of that. The king's heart's a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Very comforting, isn't it? That all decisions, all decisions are made by God. God's in control of leaders. He's in control of decisions. He's in control of that. Acts 17:26. And he made from one nation every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Why do you live in the time you live in, where you live? Because God established that. God chose the day you would be born. God chose where you would live. God chose where you would be. If you're here, if you're watching online from another country, another city, you are where you are, not because you got a job or not because you fell in love, but by the plan of God, there's purpose where you are. There's purpose in where you are. It's God who put you here in this time. There's purpose in that. So if you begin to think, man, I don't know why I'm here, I don't know what I'm doing, you know there's purpose in where you are. Psalm 139:16 says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. We're very pro-life. We're very pro-life. Life begins at conception. Before conception in the mind of God, but at conception, life begins at conception in utero. We are very pro-life here because we believe that sanctity of human life, and that's what the Bible teaches. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book, now listen to this. In your book, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. He says, in your mother's womb, before you were even formed, God put you there. His fingerprints on you because he knit you together, the Bible tells us. And it says that every one of your days, before one of them came to be, before the day I was born, my birth date was set, my death date was set, every day in between, God knew that I would be born. Not only knew, but it's not just that God knows. God not only knew, but God knew. controlled that I would be born in Kingsport, Tennessee. God controlled that I would move to Texas. What for? I don't know. But God controlled I would be moved to Texas to go to seminary. God knew that I would come here in 1994, 31 years ago. God knew. God controlled. It's all according to the counsel of God's will. It all has purpose. He tells me all of the days, my birth date, my death date, my first day, my last day. I don't have to spend a lot of time worrying about that. I know that God knows. I don't know when it is, but God knows when it is. I mean, I can be worried to death over when that's going to be. Or I can just say, God, I mean, man, I can't control it. You know, it's set. I mean, man, you can go out and run, and I always say, go run, because you need to feel better on those days, but you're not going to extend your life one more day by being healthy. You're going to go the day God has for you. But you can feel better in those days, you know. And so feel better, work out, do all those things, but not so you can live longer, because you're going to live the day God has for you to live. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For not from the east nor from the west, not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. Folks, nothing is arbitrary in life. Nothing just is. Nothing. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as luck. Luck is, there's no bad luck. There's no good luck. There's no fate. The universe doesn't give you anything that God doesn't tell the universe to give you, because God's in control of the universe. There's God. There's God. He is sovereign. He is in control. God is in control of every moment. He's in control of every event. He's in control of every storm. He's in control of every animal. He's in control of every action, every atom in the universe, every cell in your body, every virus on the planet. There is nothing in the planet. There is nothing in history. There's nothing in existence that operates outside of the sovereign control of God. Nothing. That's how Hannah, as she's proclaiming that, she's realizing, you know what, I can praise him, because whatever this is, I made a promise to God, and he's 3 or 4 years old, and some of us, man, when our kids go on a mission field when they're 20, we have a struggle with it, right? When they're 18, they want to go on a mission field and live, and we have kids, and I've never had a parent when a kid goes on, and I'm one of them. Right? I had a son move away. I've never had a parent that goes, woo-wee, get out of here. Never. Right? But I've had parents always go, oh my goodness, I'm worried about this. Most of the time, it's, but man, if that's what God's will is. But there's sometimes like, you ain't going over there. You know, I mean, because that parent, now which parents are praising and which parents are in pain? You know, it's the parents that says, this is about me. You go over there, you're going to leave me. See how Hannah's perspective's changed? You're not going over there. You're leaving me. You're about my happiness. I don't want to worry about you. But you know, there's parents that go, man, I don't know, but I'm living on the other side of the world, but it's for God's glory. Man, there's praising of the Lord. See the focus, the perspective? This is what Hannah's doing. She's given up her child, and she's able to praise God because... not because she's glad to give up her child, but because she knows God is controlling everything. He is sovereign. And this is a part of a bigger picture that she cannot see. And see, this is important because we can't possibly see how anything good can come from infertility. We can't possibly see how anything good can come from a tornado or a hurricane ripping through cities. We can't. We can't possibly see how anything good can come from ethnic cleansing. We can't possibly see how anything good can come from pandemics. We can't possibly see how anything good can come from death. How can anything good? I've asked those questions. I promise I have. How can anything good come from this? There's nothing good about it. Because I can only see the moment. But God sees every moment. I have to trust God's heart when I can't see his hand, because sometimes I can't see his hand because he does things that I can't comprehend. That's what Job understood. Job understood, I can't understand this, but I trust my God. I trust my God. I trust my God. Here's the question is, how would your life be different today if you literally believed and trusted in the sovereignty of God? How would your marriage, how would your perspective on your marriage be different Today, if you believed God is sovereign, how would all the things that's holding you back from your past, your daddy issues, man, maybe you were abused in some way, victimized in some way by someone. Maybe there's some kind of emotional, psychological stress. How today could it be different if you realize God is sovereign? I don't know what that was about. I don't know how good can come from it, but God is sovereign. I trust him. There's purpose in that pain. Could that make your pain turn to praise? If your perspective changes, because your circumstances might not. How could your parenting be different? How could your job be different? Your perspective on these things change if you said, my God is sovereign. He's in control. He does things that's incomprehensible. I can't fathom it all, but I'm going to trust his heart when I can't see his hand. Would that change your life? Would that change your perspective? Would that change it all? She goes on, she talks about God, you know, she proclaims his character, he's sovereign, but then she gives us several things that help us with his sovereignty. She says, man, he's holy, he's righteous, he's pure. In other words, she's proclaiming that there is no flaw in God. There is no sin in God. There is nothing about him that is amiss. Right? She talks about God being her rock. Now, a rock in Old Testament days was a place of safety and refuge. He's my rock. And you see that in Scripture. He's my rock, the rock of ages, the rock of salvation. He's my safety and he's my refuge. Right? And so here's what she's saying. If you go to anything but God for safety and refuge, if you go to science, if you go, which is great, I love science. If you go to politics, I think we all ought to be involved in politics. Right? I think that's a part of our responsibility. If you go to money, I love money, right? If you go to anything, here's the thing. None of those things are bad things unless that's where we go for our safety and our refuge. We only go to one place for safety and refuge. That's our God. That's our God. He's my rock. He's holy. He's pure. She says he humbles and he exalts. She contrasts the warrior with those who stumble, the fool with the hungry, the barren woman with the woman who has many sons. Everything can change in a moment. She's barren, now she has sons. Peninnah was exalting over her. Peninnah was trash-talking her. Now, we never hear from her again, yet Hannah, man, is prominent. Everything can change in a moment. This reversal of fortune, it has nothing to do with fortune. It has everything to do with God. God's in control. God's in control. That's what she says. It's God who humbles. It's God who exalts. God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. God can do anything. I can't even program my TV to record the Titans game most of the time, right? He can do anything. I can't make toast. I burn it. God made the world. God is omnipotent, which means all powerful. There's nothing our God can't do. He's omniscient, right? He knows everything. Man, listen, he's always right. Why is he always right? Because he knows everything. You know, ask Anna. I'm always right too. Till about five, I get one more little bit of information and then I realize I was wrong because I didn't have all the info. You know, people come in all the time. You know, sometimes if a husband wife comes in, the husband will start saying, well, she did this, this, this. I'm like, why would she do that? Well, I take your side. Then she says what she says. I'm like, hold on a minute. You did that, which is biblical because, you know, whatever one says seems right until you're the other side of the story. The Bible says there are always two sides of the story, right? And you got to have all the information before you can make the decision that's perfect. And guess what? I can never have all the information because I can never know motives. I can never know your heart. I can never know. I'll never have all that. God knows all the info because he's all-knowing. Now think about all these characteristics. When we think about sovereignty and we think about God, because see, it's like God's in control of this world. He's in control of everything. See, we sort of have a problem with like kings in America, right? I mean, because we're like, you know, this all this no king movement. So, I mean, we sort of have a problem. And you know, I guess the problem would be like, okay, if power, all power resided with one person, and that's not our political system, by the way, right? Thank the Lord that all power doesn't reside with one person. But if all power, thank the Lord, if all power did reside with one person, then yeah, bro, I would be like, oh my goodness, because you talk about that's unchecked, uncontrolled power. I mean, that would mean that person, I mean, I don't know a flawed man. You put that kind of power to anybody and it's going to be like dangerous, because there's sin in our world because we're flawed people. But what if there was a man? What if there was a man that we could make the president of our country who was sinless? There was no flaw in that man. He's completely pure and righteous. Completely. Knew everything, all things he knew, and had all power to do anything. Would you have a problem with that man being in total power? Absolutely not. You would beg for that person. That's our God. That's what makes his sovereignty so amazing rather than so scary, because he knows everything. He's omnipotent. He is all powerful. He is all pure. He is all holy. He is good. That's what makes his sovereignty so beautiful. That's why I can trust him. That's why I can trust his heart when I can't see his hand. And there's, oh my goodness, I can't see God's hand in so many days of my life, because what he does not make sense to me. And it never will, because my mind is finite. So I just got to trust him. I got to trust him. And when I do, everything changes. So if things are going great for you, listen, man, you're on top of the world. You got the promotion. Man, financially things are going good. Your marriage is going good. Man, all things are in your world are good. Then don't be arrogant. Praise God for it. Because it was God who gave you that. It was God who gave you that. On the other hand, man, things are like looking south right now. I mean, man, you're getting kicked in the gut. You can't catch a break. You don't know what's going on or why. It doesn't make sense. You know what? We see in Hannah, praise God, because God's in control of that too. And you don't know what he's doing. In both of those things, he's doing something. Sometimes he does it in what we call light, and sometimes he does it in what we call dark. But his will. He's bringing about his will. So if you're doing great, don't be arrogant. Man, if things are going south, don't be hopeless. God's in control. Praise him in good and bad. She's able to proclaim, praise God, because she's focused on and proclaiming the attributes of God, the character of God. That's why she's at peace. Not because her circumstances have changed, but because the one who holds her circumstances. If you look at yourself, if you look at your circumstances, you're always going to be in pain, because I can't solve my problems, let alone yours. I can't, but God can. If I look to myself, I'm always going to be at pain, but if I look to God, man, my pain can turn to praise. My pain can turn to praise. So she was able to praise God because her focus was on God and not on my problems. And I know that God's bigger than my problems, and I can trust him. And then let me give you one final point, and this is going to be really be quick. I mean, it's simple. It's really going to be quick, because I want Michael to come up, and we're going to follow Hannah's example. I want us to do what Hannah did and praise God, okay? So let me read verses 2, 9 through 10, as we talk about the promise of God, why she could praise God. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. You know, I mean, she's praised God because of the promise of God. You know, sometimes when I watch the Titans, and let me go back to the opening, when I watch the Titans or my Vols, you know, sometimes I'm jubilant, right? Sometimes I'm angry. You know, you can imagine me at my house, and Anna Lou, she had no clue. Bless her heart. People kept warning her. Well, I mean, it's 2 weeks, by the way, baby, 2 weeks. I mean, we're October 30th, but I mean, what is today? It's about here. She's like, well, people have been telling her, I mean, you won't see him again until like January. But you know, I love watching that football, and when I'm watching football, sometimes I get so angry. Aunt Lou makes fun of me about it. Ah, you scored it. You know, I get so angry. And sometimes I'm like, you ain't worth a dime. And then all the thing I can say is, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You can't take away my salvation. You have to think about the only thing that's, I don't care if they win ever. They ain't going to take away my salvation. See, even in the midst of something as silly as football, I jokingly refer to the promise of God. This don't really matter. This doesn't really matter. Only God and what he's promised matters. That's why you can praise God. This life is a snap. A snap even. You can't even measure it, but a snap in the focus of all of eternity. It's a snap. Man, God has promised he's going to defeat his enemies. God has promised victory. We know who wins. We know that one day we're not going to have that pain anymore. There's not going to be any pain in heaven. There's no crying in baseball or heaven. Right? I mean, there's no pain, and there's no sorrow, and there's no regret. There's no daddy issues. There's no broken marriages, divorce. There's no dying kids. There's no pandemics and disease. There's none of this stuff in heaven. Whatever's causing you that pain is gone. We know that. So we can praise God. We can praise God because he's in control of it. And so right now, here's what I want us to do. Michael's going to come and man, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never given your life to Jesus, and here's what we know, that the Holy Spirit's convicting you, then we want to give you the opportunity to respond. If you're watching online, if you'll text the word Jesus to the number that's going to pop up on your screen, in the room, you can come out and see us. We'll be back in the back. If you'll just come back, somebody, doesn't have to be me, go back and see somebody back in that area. There's a booth there. There's people standing over there. And someone will point you in the right direction, and today can be the day of your salvation. Please come and see us. Today, there's some of you that have come today that, man, you're in a sweet spot right now. Then we need to praise God because he's doing something in you in that sweet spot. You didn't get there by yourself. There is no such thing as a self-made man or woman. Really. Okay? Now, I know there's hard work and all those kind of things, but it's God who humbles and it's God who exalts. Some of you are in a sweet spot, and you need to praise God for that. Some of you are like Hannah, man. You prayed for a son, and you didn't have a son, and you prayed for, I mean, whatever that is. Maybe it's not infertility, it's something else. And man, now you get up, you're in the midst of pain. You need to praise God because he's in control, and he's doing something in that. And when you can't see him, when you can't see his hand, you can need to trust his heart. We want to give you that opportunity, as Hannah did. Hannah praised God because there was purpose in her pain, and she knew that, and it turned her pain to praise. We want to do that right now. We want to do that right now. And so Michael's going to lead us, and we're going to sing a couple of songs. Who else? Who else? I'll promise you there's no one else that's going to take care of your problems. Who else? Man, who's your rock? Anything else but God, and you're going to end up in pain. If it's only God, you're going to end up in peace. Who else? And none like you. We want to proclaim some of these attributes of God, some of these truths about God, so that our perspective can change. Your circumstances might not, but your perspective sure can, which can bring peace. So let's stand right now, and Michael will lead us in singing these songs, and let's do what Hannah did, and let's proclaim the goodness of God. Let's let this be our glad response to the goodness of God and see what he does in your life. If you need to talk to someone, we'll be out in the back. God bless you. Let's praise God together right now.